wasn't in here because I was taking care of a granddaughter. But just a couple of real quick things I want to highlight. Number one is, if you're interested, we really, really, Pat and Sue and Buddy and Amy and other people, we'd love to have you go to the marriage retreat. That's coming up in April, April 19th and the 20th. And we need you to sign up this week.
Because we're going.
And I'm going, sorry. But we'd really like you to, if you could sign up this week, we need to get a word to the hotel about how many rooms we need. And so if you're interested in going, we'd love to have you sign up this week. Or at the very least, let me know today or this week that you're going for sure so that we can make sure we have enough rooms reserved. All right, the second thing is that next Saturday is our Easter egg hunt. And so our Easter egg hunt begins at 1 o'clock here. We are looking, if you want to come out, and we want you to come out and enjoy, bring your kids, let's have just a good old time, but we could also use additional help, just wrangling kids and helping us set up and those types of things. So if you plan on, if you want to come and help us, we'd love to have your help. We're going to ask you to be here right around 12:30, quarter after 12, 12:30, something like that, and we'll begin to lay out all the Easter eggs and those types of things. And then immediately following the Easter egg hunts, we'll have a dinner for all of us and anyone else that wants to stay. And remember, it's our smoke off. And so I know for sure that I am and Jeremy is. Are you, Paul? No? So we have two at least. Anyone else smoking? Oh, Corey is too, I think. I did get a guarantee from Corey too. So we have three different smoked pork, pulled pork that we'll have. I also just this morning put on the Facebook page a sign-up sheet for side dishes and desserts and drinks. So if you'd like to come and have dinner with us, we just ask you to bring a side dish. That is immediately following the Easter egg hunt, so that'll be sometime around 3 o'clock, give or take, depending on how long it takes for the Easter egg hunt. Okay? And then finally, we need to lift up Chaz and Tanya's family. Chaz's dad went home to be with the Lord this past week, and I got to take them dinner yesterday, and got to talk to Chaz and Tanya. They're doing as well as you could do during this time. They are celebrating the fact that their father is in heaven with his mother, with Chaz's mother, his wife, and so they're reunited in heaven. And it was just a wonderful time. I don't know, maybe Chaz will do a testimony at some point, but Chaz had the wonderful opportunity leading his father to Christ in the recent weeks. Honestly, and so that was a beautiful moment in time. So, all right, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 10. It's been one of those mornings, let me tell you. I forgot, I apologize to Corey and Lena and others and Alyssa and Casey. I forgot what it's like having a young one. So we got up this morning. Our granddaughter has been spending the night with us this weekend, and we woke up really early and still was running behind. And then we get here, and everything is, you know, based around a little one. So it's hard to make sure everything's running smoothly. But I will. You're right. But it was fun. We've had a wonderful weekend. And so we've been doing this series of sermons called Jesus Is for the last few weeks. We started out calling, asking, is Jesus? Jesus is Messiah. And then last week we talked about Jesus is, and I just totally slipped my mind. I'm sorry? Yes, thank you. Jesus was offensive, which last week's sermon might have been better for this week based on what we went through this morning. That's kind of funny. But
the Lord has a funny sense.
He does. He really does, let me just say. But today we're going to talk about Jesus as God. Now listen, one of the most difficult things for Christians to understand is the Trinity. The Trinity being not, we're not talking about, you know, Trinity from the movie
Matrix.
Thank you, Jay. My movie aficionado here. We're actually talking about the Trinity of God. The Trinity of God. You know, oftentimes, when I was growing up, I grew up in the Catholic Church, and we would do the making of the cross. You know, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We'd always do this. That was just my natural. I learned to do that at a very young age, and so all of my time in the Catholic Church, I knew that, but I didn't really understand that. I didn't understand what it meant to say Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Until I was a little bit older, and as I became a little bit older, I began to understand that God was one. But quite honestly, I still didn't understand fully what that meant. How can God be God the Father speaking to God the Son while God the Son's here on this earth, yet God the Son says, I'm going to enter into heaven and go back to my Father so that the Holy Spirit will come, and yet they're all one at the same time? That was very confusing, and it still is to some point. If you really sit down and you take a hard look at this and you try to break this up, you begin to realize this is something hard to understand. It doesn't make it impossible to understand, but it makes it very difficult to understand. You know, one of the most, it was funny because we talked about it being offensive, but one of the most offensive claims that Jesus ever made was that he and the Father are one. This was a claim that Jesus made over and over and over again. In fact, this was the very claim that got that the Sadducees, that the God, listen, I'm all. Woo. This was the very claim that resulted in Jesus being hung on the cross. The Sadducees and Pharisees were not mad at Jesus because he healed people. The Sadducees and Pharisees were not mad at Jesus because he could speak eloquently in the temple. They were mad at Jesus because he claimed that he and the Father were one. That was a very, very offensive message that Jesus came. But it's one that we have to understand. We have to come to this idea and understand, how is Jesus and God the Father one? And how does that impact our life? Because listen, Jesus was not only fully God when he was here on this earth, but yet he was also fully man. And that's something that we also have to try to grasp a hold of. How can someone be fully God, but yet also fully man? Being fully God meant that Jesus had all the powers that God had. He could do any of those things. He could heal. He could do all of the things that he did on this earth. He could have called down legions of armies to come down from heaven and take care of all of the things, all of the troubles that he went through, yet he didn't. Jesus had all of these wonderful attributes of God the Father inside of him, yet he was also fully human. Understanding that Jesus is fully human is hard for us to grasp hold of, because that means Jesus had hunger pains. Jesus was sad. We think of when Lazarus died, Jesus cried. Jesus wept. Jesus was happy. Jesus enjoyed spending time with his friends. Jesus enjoyed spending time with his ima, as they say in The Chosen, the Hebrew word for his mother. But he loved spending time with them. He loved spending time in those places. He loved doing those things. He had all of these emotions. Yet we have a simple understanding, because what happens is we try to often separate God and Jesus, or God and Jesus as separate individuals, but then we also look at the very nature of who Jesus is, and we separate him out as human and not as God. It's important. We're going to learn today why it is so important that Jesus is God. It's going to be very important. I love this quote C.S. Lewis writes in his book Mere Christianity. If anyone has ever read that book, it's a fantastic book. If you haven't read it, I encourage you to read it. It's Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis. But in his book, he writes, I am trying to prevent anyone from saying the really foolish thing that people often say about him, Jesus. I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. That is the one thing we must not say. A man who is merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would be a lunatic on a level with a man who says he is a poached egg. Love C.S. Lewis's writings. Or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman, or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come up with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that option open to us. he did not intend to. I love his writings here because what C.S. Lewis is so eloquently saying to us is that Jesus is God. I can almost read that and say, okay, I'm done. Let's go home. But I won't because I got a few more hours to preach. So Jesus is in the rightful place to call himself God the Father or God the Son, but he's also in his rightful place to call himself God. And we have to understand those things. There is the Trinity. There is the Holy Spirit. There is God the Father. There is God the Son. Yet, we also have to understand that all three of these are one at the same time. Let's pray, and then let's jump into John chapter 10. Will you bow your heads and pray with me, please? Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your beauty. We thank you that even during difficult times, you're with us. We pray for your peace that surpasses all understanding to fall upon us, to help us to grasp this concept of the Trinity, to grasp how you can be fully human, Jesus, but yet also fully God. Help us, Lord, in this day to grasp a hold of what it means to follow you, Jesus, not just as our Savior, not just as this wonderful teacher, rabbi who walked this earth, but as God himself who came down, Emmanuel, God with us here on this earth. Lord, help us, guide us, open our ears, open our eyes, help us to see as you would see. Help us to digest this scripture and help us to be able to learn what you would have to speak to us through this these verses today, Father. Lord, we pray that, Holy Spirit, we pray that you would just open our eyes and our ears and our senses so that we can receive from you what you would have for us today. Lord, I pray that my words would not be my own, that you would protect, that you'd guide, that you'd strengthen this message, and that you'd bring it forth, helping me in my human, feeble ways to bring the message of God that you would have to speak to us today. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 10, starting in verse 24. So Jesus gathered around him. So the Jews gathered around him, Jesus, and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus is having a conversation with the people around, and what he's saying is the Sadducees and Pharisees have come to him, and they're challenging him, and they're saying, "How long will you wait? How long will you tell us? Will you tell us plainly, are you the Christ?" Even that very statement, "Are you the Christ," means something different. See, being the Christ meant they were looking to say, they were looking to trap Jesus, but they wanted Jesus to tell him that he was the Son of God. Jesus answered them in a very way. He says, Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe me because you are not among my sheep." What Jesus is saying to them is simply this: I have told you all my ministry, all of my times, the times I was with you in the temple, the time that I was with you, I've shared with you, I've told you this, and you do not believe. But he adds this: the works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me. It's interesting because someone can say who they are all they want, but at the end of the day, their actions will prove otherwise. Have you ever wondered that? You know, someone can say, "I'm the nicest person in the world," but if you come in and they start slapping you, that's not very nice, right? If you say you're nice and then your actions follow up with something that you do that is nice, then you are truly bearing witness to what you say you are. And that's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, "The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you can't see the works that you're doing." And then he goes on to say, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they will follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." And at that statement, they picked up stones to try to stone Jesus. It's an amazing message that Jesus is saying, but Jesus is saying in verse 20, "My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." See, this idea of "I and the Father are one" is very, very offensive to the Sadducees and Pharisees. This was a statement that would immediately cause them to want to murder or kill Jesus at all costs. They didn't understand how Jesus could be God the Father here on this earth. They are living in a time just like what we are today. We live in a very singular world where we often look at someone and say, that person is this. And we don't understand how that person could be so many things. Yet we also live in a very plural world. And when I say that, if you look at any of us in this room, you okay? Okay. If you look in this world around you, you can see the very truth of the matter is that I stand before you as pastor. I love my position as being a pastor. But yet I'm also papa to Adeline, and I love my position as papa. But yet then I'm also husband to my wife, Jennifer, and I love my position as husband to my wife. I get to share in all three of those, but I'm also one. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is God in one in the same way. The Trinity is a very difficult concept to grasp a hold of. But I want you to understand that Jesus, when he came to this earth, he was not speaking some lies. He was not speaking. Jesus, one thing that he never did was he never lied. He never sinned. He was a sinless man. So therefore, he could never have lied. And so therefore, when Jesus says, I and the Father are one, that means he is telling the truth. And if you don't believe that Jesus is telling the truth, that he and the Father are one, or that he and the Father are God, then you believe that Jesus is a liar and everything else that he's done is worthless. See, we have to understand that Jesus came to this earth to fulfill what was needed for us. That was a sacrifice. We often find Jesus praying to the God the Father, and we often understand this concept. I love the story when Jesus was baptized in the river by John the Baptist, and God himself spoke from the heavens and comes down. And it's almost like, I jokingly said one time, we're hearing the inside voice of Jesus' head, right? When we hear, this is my son, I am proud of him. And that's my paraphrase, by the way. But and so he is coming down and sharing this with him. I often find when I talk to people about the Trinity, I often find that people have a hard time grasping a hold of this. As a young person, I used to try to figure out, how do I pray equally to all three? You know, I used to sit there and think, oh, I need to pray to God the Father because he is God the Father, right? He's the maker of all. And I need to pray to Jesus because Jesus died on the cross for me. And then when I learned about the Holy Spirit, who the Holy Spirit was, I began to say, I need to pray to the Holy Spirit. And then I began this internal struggle inside of me. Maybe some of you have lived this internal struggle, or maybe you are living this internal struggle where you're trying to say, do I pray to God the Father? Do I pray God to Jesus? Or do I pray God the Son? Or do I pray to God the Holy Spirit? Well, guess what? They're all one. One is not jealous of the other by who you pray to. If you pray to the Holy Spirit, you're praying to God. If you pray to Jesus, you're praying to God. If you pray to God the Father, you're praying to God. He doesn't care. He's all one. And it's a beauty there. Now, that doesn't mean that there's not times that we are called to pray in certain ways. For example, Jesus says in his own name to pray in my name, in Jesus' name. And so every prayer that almost every prayer that you hear me say, I will say in Jesus' name at the end of that prayer. Why? That's what Jesus told us to do. We also understand that the Holy Spirit is here with us today. And so we often find ourselves praying to the Holy Spirit to give us power, to give us strength, to give us encouragement, to give us the boldness, to give us the wisdom, to give us the direction that we need here on this earth. The simple fact is that Jesus came here to this earth to show us who God was in all three aspects. Do you understand that? Jesus came to share on the cross and die as a obedient son to his Father. Yet he was also God in all power because of what he did, not only on the cross, but what also he did after 3 days he resurrected. We're going to talk about that a little bit more in a moment. But Jesus also then says to his disciples that it's good for me to go. Could you imagine? Wait. It's good that you go? Why is it good that you go? So the Holy Spirit will come and be with you. They are three, yet one, and they are never offended by you praying to the other one. John chapter 8, verses 48 through 59 says, "Then Jesus answered them, 'Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?' The Jews answered, I'm sorry, I said that again. The Jews answered him, are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Now, they're trying to catch Jesus in a lie. They're trying to catch Jesus, trying to get Jesus to stumble. Again, this is John chapter 10, 8, verses 48 through 59. Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan? Was he a Samaritan? Yes, he was. He was from Nazareth. And have a demon. They didn't understand Jesus. And so what the very first thing they did? They said that he had a demon. Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father and you dishonor me. And then he goes on to say, yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I will say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. The Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets. Yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died, and the prophets died? Who do you make yourself to be? Jesus answered, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing, and it is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. Jesus knew how to say things. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old. Have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. So they picked up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. The statement that Jesus makes, this I am statement, if you will, is a very important statement that we all have to grasp a hold of and have to understand. When Jesus makes this statement, I am, what he is saying to the Sadducees is that I am God. The only one that was I am was God himself. This was very sacred language. This was language that the Jewish people would have grasped a hold of. This was Passover level language, let me tell you. So when Jesus speaks to them and says, I am, what he's doing is actually repeating the very words that God the Father was speaking to the Jewish people through that time of Passover. And so when he says, I am, what he's saying is that not only I am all things, I am God. I was at the beginning, I'll be at the end. I'm here now, and I was there then. And he's using this word, this is... I used to laugh because my father used to say, them there are fat words, right? Them there words to my father, or to the Jewish people, were fighting words. When you say, I am, no one was able to say, I am. The only one who was I am was God the Creator. No one else could say those words. So when Jesus repeats those words, what he's clearly making, he's clearly, without any doubt, there's no way that you can read this verse and say it any otherwise other than that Jesus was God. Jesus is not playing around. He went right to the jugular. He went right to the main vein and said, this is what's going on. I am. Jesus can make the claim of being I am because he was there with God the Father. He was and he is I am. He is God. See, the truth is that Jesus was way more than a loving person, a great man, or even just a mere prophet. Jesus was and is God. Too often in our lives, we love Jesus for what he has done for us. We celebrate him at Christmas saying, oh, Jesus was this wonderful baby boy who was born in the nativity scene, and we honor him, and we do all these things, and I'm not going to pull out the Talladega Nights reference, but we all know it, right? And so Jesus was much more than that. And then we also celebrate Jesus at Easter. Why? Because we know what he did. He died on the cross for you and I. He took, as Jay said, the beatings. Jay, I'm right with you. After that first cane shot, I'm done. Forget it. I'm over, right? Don't bring out the whip with the glass and the stones on the cat of nine tails, right? Don't bring those out because I'm done. I don't want anything to do with that. But Jesus was more than that. See, this is the most amazing statement that one can make. If you understand that Jesus is God, then you understand that Jesus, God himself, came down to this earth. He left heaven, came down to this earth, lived on this earth, allowed the very people that he created to spit on his face, to do all of these things, to beat him, to do all of those things, and then to nail him to a tree. God did that, not just Jesus. See, sometimes we look at this, and I think in our minds, we can't fathom that God is on this cross, that God has chosen to die on the cross for you and I. But he did. This wasn't just a mere human who died on the cross. This was God who went to the cross for us. It changes everything in our scripture. It changes everything in our faith if we understand that Jesus was more than just a good man. He was more than just a He was even more than God's only son. He was God himself. See, God in the Old Testament was very vengeful and jealous. You ever read the Old Testament and go, wow, God, that seems a little tough, right? They were some of those things, well, most all of them they deserved, but we read that and we wonder what happened. See, a lot of Christians go through life thinking that God, the vengeful God, is no longer around because that was only in the Old Testament. And now we have Jesus who is just full of grace and love and everything's roses and everything's beautiful because Jesus died on the cross for us. Woo-hoo-hoo, isn't that beautiful? It is. But guess what? The same vengeful God that we read in the Old Testament is the same God that loved you so much that he sent his only son, that he sent his only self to that cross to die for you and I. But what that means is the very God that we look and read in the Old Testament, that we say, God, you're so mean. Why are you doing all of these things? Well, the same God that decided to climb up on that tree for you. It's an amazing conflict of interest in our human minds that we have a hard time understanding, but we must grasp a hold of that Jesus is way more than just a man who was sinless on this earth. He was God himself. The same God that loves you in the New Testament is the same God in the Old Testament. God, the loving one who loves us enough not to leave us alone, who came to this earth in the form of Jesus, was also yet the same man, the same God who parted the Red Seas, who did all of the things that we read in the Old Testament. Jesus, in John chapter 14, verses 6 and 7, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do not know him, and you have seen him. Jesus is making a very clear statement to the people around him at this moment in time. What he's saying to the people is that right now, if you see me, then you have seen the Father. How can he make that comment unless he is God himself? He can't. But he also makes this comment that I am the way and the truth and the life. Jesus makes this comment very clearly to you and I and to all of us who are reading Scripture and who open up our minds to hear from Scripture, because the reason Jesus has to be God is because the only sacrifice good enough to get us into heaven was for God himself to provide that sacrifice for us. His dignity, his rule, his law that he laid down in the Old Testament had to be fulfilled. That couldn't have been fulfilled by anything other than God himself on that cross. Fully man, fully God. This is an amazing statement for us to grasp a hold of. When we understand that Jesus is more than just a man, but yet he is fully God, it changes our lives. It changes Scripture. It changes the way we look at things. When you realize that Jesus is more than just someone who's like, hey, look, I'm a good person, right? I think everyone in this room would call themselves a fairly good person, right? Hopefully. Maybe we all have our downfalls, those types of things. None of us in this room can claim to even be close to being a God. We have to understand that even though this idea and this thought was so abusive to Jewish leaders, that it is more true than anything else. You know, even today, my Jewish friends and brothers, my brothers and friends and brothers, whatever you want to say, when I speak with them, I have this wonderful dialogue with them. And, you know, I've actually been to a couple different dialogues where we sit down with Jewish rabbis, and the very first question they'll ask, and in a very polite way, is, who is Jesus to you? And I ask the question in return, so who is Jesus to you? And it's interesting, today, their answer oftentimes is no different than what it would have been back then. They believe that that Jesus was a very nice man, that he sacrificed, and he did a lot of things. But they will not call him I Am. They will not call him God. So when we had this conversation, they asked me, who is Jesus to you? And I said, Jesus is I Am. They got a little angry with me a little bit at first and said, okay, listen, we understand that you're a Christian. And I said, yes, I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, but I also believe that Jesus is the most important part because he is God himself here on this earth. The dialogue is interesting because one of the questions that they asked me after that was, then why don't you live your life like you're following God instead of following a man? I said, that's a wonderful question to ask. And I said, I pray that I do every single day that I'm following God in everything that I do and say. And then they asked me a follow-up question. Then why does most people that are in churches today not follow God? They follow Jesus. I said, what do you mean by that? And they said, well, their actions speak louder than their words. Because if they truly knew that they were following God, they would walk in a different way. That has always stuck with me. This was 10 years ago when I had this dialogue with these Jewish rabbis. And it's always stuck with me because I asked that question to myself. Am I following Jesus as a human, as a really nice man, someone who sacrificed his life on a cross for me, or am I following him as God? Because if he's God, you have to understand that God calls us to let go of all things, to turn all things over to him, to give him all worship, all honor, all praise, to follow him. He is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. He is all of those things. It makes a heck of a difference in our life if we decide that Jesus really is God. The most important reason that Jesus must be God is that if he's not God, his death would not have been sufficient to pay the penalty of sins of the world. A created being, which Jesus would be if he were not God, could not pay the infinite penalty required for sin against an infinite God. Only God could pay such an infinite penalty. Only God could take the sins of the world, die, and be resurrected, proving his victory over sin and death. If Jesus was not God, then that payment would not have been enough for you and I. The question isn't if Jesus is God, because that's already been proven. Jesus proved that himself. The question falls upon us. Do we serve him as God? I'm going to ask the worship team to come. Will you stand with me, please? As the worship team comes forward, I just want to ask you this one question. Have you ever, listen, I want to encourage you today. I know the Trinity is a really hard thing to grasp a hold of. I get that. I understand that. That's one of the things that Pastor Chaz and we talk about in discipleship classes, and we talk about the differences between the Trinity and what they are. And yes, Jesus had a role to play. Yes, God the Father has a role to play. And yes, the Holy Spirit has a role to play, but they're all one. I have a role to play as a husband. I have a role to play as Papa. I have a role to play as a pastor. Yet I'm still one. I'm still me as who I am. God is here for you, and he wants you to understand this. He wants you to grasp a hold of this because it changes your thinking. Deep down inside, when we pray and we ask for Jesus to do something, but we don't believe that he is God, then somehow what we're doing is really just praying to another human. What we have to grasp a hold of is that when we pray to Jesus, we're praying to God. When we pray to the Holy Spirit, we're praying to God. When we pray to God the Father, we're praying to God. All three of them in one, together, here with us. It changes what we think, how we act. It should change our actions. Because we're not just serving a good man. We're not just serving a man who died on the cross. For you and I, we're serving God who decided, the one who created us and created all things, decided to come down from heaven to this earth. And then loved you so much so that he was willing to walk and take the punishments, to take the beatings, to take all of those things, and to be hung on a cross. See, if Jesus wasn't God, then those 3 days that he was buried, what would he have been doing? We know Scripture tells us that in those 3 days, he was defeating hell. He was going down to restore, to receive the kingdom, the keys to the kingdom. He was overcoming all of those things. And we also know on the third day, he was resurrected and he came forth. And he walked from there. We celebrate that. That's amazing. And I can't wait. In 2 weeks, we'll be celebrating that. 2-3 weeks, whatever it is, we'll be celebrating that Resurrection Sunday. It's an amazing thing. But today, in this very moment, this very time, how about we celebrate Jesus as being God? How about we look towards him and say, you know what, I can ask him for anything because he's God. I don't have to, like, question in my mind, can he really do this? Yeah, he can really do this. He's God. Can he really save and turn over the world? Yes, he can really do that. He's God. When I'm sick, can he heal me? Yes, he can do that because he's God. Does he own the cattle on the hills? So when my bills are piling up and I need help? Yes, he does. He's God. He's all of those things. And it's time that we recognize Jesus as God and honor him in that way. It even starts in our very habit of worship. You're not just singing a song. You're not just speaking some words that are on a screen. You're singing your praises to God who loves you. He deserves that so much and so, so much more. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for all that you are. And Lord, even in my own mind, I have to admit, even in my own mind, I've often struggled with, do I pray to God the Father? Do I pray to God the Son? Do I pray to God the Holy Spirit? Who should I be asking for today? What should I be asking? Sometimes I feel like that, but Lord, today I understand that you're all God. You're all three. And so whether I'm praying to God the Son, God the Father, or God the Holy Spirit, I'm praying to you. And you're not offended at any moment in time when I pour my heart and soul into one of the characteristics of the Trinity of God. So today, Lord, I pray that as we leave this place, may we celebrate Jesus, not just as a good man, not just as a prophet, not just as someone, a rabbi, a teacher who came to show us the way, but as in God himself choosing to come to this earth to die on the cross for us. Lord, may we celebrate you today in that way. May we celebrate you. Lord, maybe today there's someone here in this room or that's watching at home online that's never given their life to you before, that's never said, come into my life. Let me, I repent of my sins. I turn away from those things. I ask you to come into my heart. Romans 10 verse 9 says that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, capital L-O-R-D, by the way, if we confess that Jesus is Lord, then we can have everlasting, eternal life with you in heaven. And so, Lord, we come before you today. We just say, forgive us of our sins. Let us turn from those today. And let us celebrate you as God the Father, as the one who loves us, the one who cares for us, the one who lifts us up, the one God who chose to leave the comfort of heaven to come to this earth and to die on the cross for us. We didn't deserve that love, but you gave it to us anyway. We love you, Lord. We glorify you. We honor you. We praise you now in Jesus' most precious and holy name. Amen and amen. Let's worship together.
What he's done, what he's done, all the glory and the honor to the Son. My sins are forgiven, my future is heaven. I praise God for what he's done. Hill of Calvary, my Savior bled for me, my Jesus set me free. Look at the wounds that give me life, grace flowing from inside, no greater sacrifice than what he's done. What he's done, all the glory and the honor to the Son. My sins are forgiven, my future is heaven. I praise God for what he's done. For the freedom he has won, even death is dead and done, his life has overcome. Speak, say the name above all names, over every broken place, he is risen from the grave. What he's done, what he's done, all the glory and the honor to the Son. My sins are forgiven, my future is heaven, and I praise God for what he's done, and I praise God for what he's done. I praise God for what he's done.
Yes, we do praise you, Father, for what you have done. Even in the midst of loss, we praise you, Father. Even in the midst of pain and suffering, we praise you. Because what you have done is so much more than any of those things. We ask you that you comfort us, that you be with us, that you guide us and you direct us. Help us to serve you as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, but God himself, the I Am. When we need something, you are the I Am. You are there for us in every way, shape, or form that we need. You are there for us. We glorify you in this place, Father. We ask you that you go with us this week as we go out into our homes and into our neighborhoods and into our communities, that we could serve you as God, as the one who deserves all praises, all honor. Send us forth to share the message of Jesus with all of those around us and help us to live for you in all that we do and say, so that you can be glorified in our lives and in everything that we say and do. Give you the honor, the praise, and the glory in Jesus' most precious and holy name. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful week. Look forward to seeing you again next week. And don't forget about the Easter egg hunt.